had no time for them. Now they don't have any time for me. And I want to warn some of you, because if you're not careful, some of you, under the guise that you're doing this for your children, you are killing yourself. You are pushing yourself. You have no time for your family and your children. And I want you to know it is not going to bring you fulfillment.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, if you have your Bibles, please turn with us and listen. Here's Pastor Grant.
The Smiths were proud of their family heritage. Some of the family members came to America on the Mayflower, and their family tree had a number of important people. Some were congressmen, some were senators, some were physicians, some were ministers, and some were Wall Street bigwigs. And so the family decided that they were going to publish a history of the family. And they hired a well-known author to write the book. The only problem was that they didn't know what to do about Uncle George. You see, Uncle George was a murderer. And he was executed in the electric chair. So they worried about it, but the author told them, "Don't worry about Uncle George. I know exactly how to handle this bit of unpleasant family history." So when the book was out, the family gathered together and everybody turned their copy to see what he had to say about Uncle George. And here is what he said about Uncle George. "George Smith occupied a chair of applied electronics at an important government institution. He was attached to his position by the strongest of ties. And his death came as a real shock." Not everyone has a good legacy. But today we're looking at the legacy of one of history's most impactful people. We're talking about Abraham. Our journey with Abraham began in Genesis chapter 12 when he and Sarah left Haran for Canaan. And since then we have followed Abraham's exciting life of faith. And now here we are in chapter 25, 100 years after Abraham began to walk with God in Genesis chapter 12. 100 years later, Abraham breathed his last breath and died. And today, as we bring this series on the life of Abraham to a close, I want to share with you three important lessons we can learn from Abraham's legacy of faith. The first thing I want to bring to your attention this morning is that his legacy shares the secret to a fulfilled life. I don't want you to miss this. Abraham's legacy shares the secret to a fulfilled life. One of mankind's greatest searches is the search for fulfillment. But finding fulfillment is usually very elusive, because unfortunately, we usually look for fulfillment in the wrong places. Now, some people believe to find fulfillment, you must be in a relationship. Am I right about that? The very first thing, if I were to do a survey right now, I am sure the majority of you would say the key to fulfillment is to be in a meaningful relationship. And so sadly, individuals jump from one relationship to another. As soon as one relationship ends, before we even get a chance to recover and get healthy again, we move on to another relationship, because that to us is the secret to fulfillment. And I bet you there's somebody in the congregation right now who is perhaps not in a very healthy relationship. But you're in this relationship because somehow you believe that's what you need to find fulfillment. Others believe that finding fulfillment, they can find it in a job or a career. So they plunge themselves into their career, hoping to find success, hoping perhaps to get wealthy. I'll never forget, it's over 30 years ago, I was in my late 20s, and I went to an insurance company's conference. And I'll never forget, the man who won, who was the leading salesman for the year, that year he made over $5 million a year in commissions. And by the way, that's when $5 million was real money. I know some of you may say it's still real money, but $5 million over 30 years ago was a lot more real than it was today. Back then, you never heard about billionaires. He made $5 million. He had a home. I knew in addition to his home here, he had one in Paris. He had a home in the Virgin Islands. And all of us as young fellows, we were just so excited to meet this guy. And here he was. He went up on the stage to receive his award for being the salesman of the year. And as he received it, he started to cry. A grown man with his gray hair. And here I am, a little kid, and I'm saying, oh my goodness, what in the world is happening? And guess what? It was not tears of joy. He broke down and he said, I would give it all up. He said, you know, when I was younger and my children were younger, I spent all my time pursuing my career and I did so well, but I spent so much time pursuing my career. I had no time for my family. I had no time for my wife and the children. And he said, here I am. I am so successful. And he said to us, I have a home in Paris. I have a home in the Virgin. I have it all. He said, and there's not even one family member here to congratulate me on my success. I had no time for them. Now they don't have any time for me. And I want to warn some of you, because if you're not careful, some of you, under the guise that you're doing this for your children, you are killing yourself. You are pushing yourself. You have no time for your family and your children. And I want you to know it is not going to bring you fulfillment. You have to live a balanced life. And I want us this morning to take a look at what Abraham has to say to us, because Abraham has something special. I'm not saying relationships are not good, because what the Lord knows, I have been in a relationship with a young lady for over 41 years. Praise the Lord. But as nice as she is, that's not how my fulfillment in life has come. And if you are here and you're searching and you're hoping your husband or your wife or somebody is going to bring you fulfillment, you are on the wrong track. So what does Abraham tell us? The first thing I want you to notice, I don't want you to miss that. The Bible says that Abraham was satisfied with life. He was satisfied with life. Here's what Genesis chapter 25, verse number 8 says. It says, then Abraham breathed his last breath and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years. Sometimes when we read the word full of years, we think it is saying he's an old man. No, it's not saying he's an old man. It just said already in the verse he was an old man. Did you see that? He died at a good old age. It is not saying that he was an old man. James Strahan translates that part, satisfied with life. Here's how he translates it. Full of years. I'm sorry. He translates full of years, satisfied with life. Abraham was satisfied with his life. He's like the Apostle Paul, who at the end of the journey, he says, what? I have fought a good fight. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He wasn't being proud. He was coming to the end and he was satisfied with life. Are you satisfied with life? But secondly, here's what I don't want you to miss. Abraham had pursued God's purposes. He was satisfied with life, first of all, because he had pursued God's purposes. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, and you need not turn to it, we're going to put it up on the screen for you. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, the Word of God says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. I don't want you to miss that. Abraham's fulfillment in life begun when he was 75 years old. So if you're 75, you need not worry. It's not too late for you. It began when he was 75, when he decided to entrust his life to God. Abraham made a decision. I have decided to follow God. I am entrusting my life to God, and I am going to pursue God's purpose for my life. Is that where you are? You see, if you really think of it, stop a minute and just think. What could be more fulfilling in your life than to achieve the purpose why God put you here? Come on now. What could be more meaningful? I challenge you, young person, older person. What could be more meaningful than at the end of your journey, you are able to say, thank God, I know I have achieved the purpose why God put me here. Are you satisfied you are achieving the purpose why God put you here?
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
I want you to look with me at another guy who tried to find fulfillment. You see, Abraham was focused on following God. Are you with me this morning? If you're with me, say amen. Amen. Abraham was focused on following God, on obeying God. Hold your Bible in Genesis chapter 25, because that's where our text is coming from. But flip over to Luke chapter 12. Luke's Gospel chapter 12, verse number 16. I'm going to read while you turn. Then he spoke a parable. Jesus is saying, those of you who have red letter Bibles, notice this is in red. And here's what Jesus said. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to secure my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you got a whole lot of goods laid up for many years. Take it easy. Soul, here's how you're going to get fulfillment. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you know, there's not a lot of people God calls a fool. But God said, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Did you notice how many times in those verses the man said, I and my? 11 times in that short passage, he said, I and my. God was not in his equation. His focus was on I and my. Abraham decided to focus on God. This man decides he's focusing on I and my. Some of us are so focused on I and my, we worry about what we'd lose if we sold out to God. Am I talking to somebody like that this morning? A Christian, come on now. You are a believer in Jesus Christ, but you are preoccupied about I and my, and you're so preoccupied about you and what you are trying to achieve and your agenda that God is not really high up on your agenda. We believe that I gotta hold on to find fulfillment. But here's the key. The reality is that when we refuse to give our lives fully to God, listen to me, young person, when you refuse to give your life fully to God, you are the big loser. It's a preacher, preach, show me this. Mark's Gospel chapter 8, I'm putting it on the screen for you. Mark's Gospel chapter 8, verse 35. And here's what it says. If you try to what? If you try to hang on to your life. Am I talking to somebody like that? You trying to hang on to your life. If you try to hang on to your life, you will what? Oh my goodness, if you believe that the way up is to hang on to your life, Jesus says you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. You say, preacher, that makes no sense. You see, my friend, why you don't realize it makes a whole lot of sense is because we are made up of what? Body, soul, and spirit. Did you ever stop to think that you cannot find fulfillment unless the soul and spirit are fulfilled? Did you ever stop to think that over? You cannot find fulfillment if the soul and the spirit are not fulfilled. You can do all you want. Some guys run around, they think they can have a good time and they'll find fulfillment, and they make babies all over the place, and at the end of life they are a miserable wreck. You can do whatever. Try it, go ahead, do your thing. You will never find fulfillment unless your spirit and your soul are fulfilled. And they cannot find their fulfillment except when they are linked to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why God says, if you want to hang on to your life, you are going to lose it. But if you lose it for Him, if you commit it to Him, if you give Him everything. You say, this is not just about salvation. It's a whole lot more. But the second reason I believe Abraham was satisfied with his life is because he was God's friend. Amen. In Isaiah 41 verse 8, God Himself refers to Abraham as His friend. God says, Abraham is my friend. And James chapter 2 verse 23 also states that Abraham was called the friend of God. Man, I can imagine. It's no wonder he was satisfied with life. God was his friend. Does it get any better than that? Not only was God his friend, God says I'm his friend. God says he is my friend. Oh, some of you have some friends and you love to shout who you have. Oh, do you know who is my friend? You know, we like to name drop. You know, sometimes in my circle, I hang around a lot of folks who like to name drop. And they love to tell you who they know. But can you imagine to have God as your friend? Do you wish you could exchange places with Abraham and have God as your friend? Two friends were camping in the woods, and one morning they were having their morning coffee and they heard rustling in the bushes, and as they turned to look, there was a massive grizzly bear rushing towards them, and the grizzly bear looked rather hungry and he was coming at full force. And so one of the guys, he started putting on his running shoes. His friend said to him, do you think you can outrun this grizzly bear? He said, no, I don't have to outrun the grizzly bear, I only have to outrun you. That's how a lot of so-called called friends are. They will run away at the first sign of trouble. That's why I'm so glad to have God as my friend, the Almighty God. And here's what he says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. And we're going to put it on the screen so you can see it for yourself. The Almighty God, who says, "One who has unreliable friends will soon come to ruin, because sooner or later the grizzly bear is coming and they're going to run away." But here's what the verse says. Are you glad about this? "But there" what? "Is a friend" who what? "Who sticks closer than a brother." Oh, we used to sing that song, "Closer than a brother" what? "My Jesus is to me. He's my dearest friend. He's everything I need. Is he your friend?" Oh, we're going to talk about how to get him as your friend, because you know, he's not everybody's friend. Oh, I'm going to... He's not even every Christian's friend. Oh, Brother Brian, you're treading on some dangerous ground. He is not the friend of every single believer, in a sense. And we'll get there before you throw me out. So let's look at John's Gospel, chapter 15. Because I want you to see how you can be like Abraham. Wouldn't you like God to be your friend? Let's look at John 15, verse number 13. John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 13. Here's what it says. "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And then he says this. "You are my friends if you do what? If you do whatever I command you." And then he says, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." The first step to fulfillment is salvation. When I was a child growing up, we used to sing a song in the church I grew up at, and it says, "There is no satisfaction without salvation." S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. There is no satisfaction without salvation. And my friend, I want to speak to some of you who right now you're not sure you're saved by the grace of God and by the power of God. I want you to know you can keep running and searching, but until you find salvation, there is no satisfaction. You will never achieve God's purpose for your life until you come to the cross and say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart." But you know, that's only the first step. Salvation is only the first step, because there is more. He says here, he says, "Only those who obey me." So listen, here's what I want you to get across. All Christians are children of God, but not all Christians are God's friends. Not all Christians are operating in that relationship. Not all Christians are close to him. Not all Christians are in this fellowship with him that is so close that he would... Some of us don't even know when he's speaking to us because we're distant. And so this morning, listen, this morning God is saying to you, are you really wanting to find fulfillment? Don't just get saved, but make a commitment to obey me. Make a commitment to follow me. Make a commitment to have me achieve my purpose in you.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. "Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin.
I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.